Be of good cheer. You know, every Christian should be. You know, when times really get rough, so many of our people like to slack off and feel sorry for themselves or the whole works. And isn't that, you're not a Christian if you do that. Why? You've got to have faith to know our Father's on the throne. He's always going to be with us. Oh, let's go all the way back to the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 14, please. Exodus chapter 14. Here is a time where you had some people that were really upset. It's so easy to get on their nerves, and they were so short, you know, here and there. Things weren't going to suit them because they had their eyes in the wrong place. So, Exodus 14, verse 8, and Israel is leaving Pharaoh's captivity, and it reads, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand." Now, I want you to think about that a moment. Who's controlling Pharaoh? God is. He's your father. If he controls your enemy, what are you worried about? What's got you all shook up, you know, if you look at the world today and get anxious? Father's still on the throne. Be of good cheer. Okay. Verse 9, "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them in camp by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Behel-Zephon." And, I mean, this looks bad. Here you got a bunch of people. They don't have any chariots. They don't have all that many horses. Maybe a stray camel or two. They don't have any weapons really to speak of. Here comes a whole army. What do? Don't lose fact that God is in control of them also. Okay. And he always looks out for his own. So what are you worried about? Be of good cheer. "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." They didn't cry out for the right reasons. They cried out to, they wanted to go back to Egypt, really. They wanted to go back into captivity. Wrong cry. Verse 11, "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" We want to go back. You know, beware of people that want to go back into captivity. Okay, beware of people that are afraid of their own shadow. A hero dies one death, a coward dies a thousand deaths. So, again, why? Because they lose contact with who's in charge, whose operation this is. It's our Father's. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Verse 12, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? We told you, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it hath been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Now listen carefully. 13. "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, but be of good cheer. Stand still." That means be quiet. "And see, look for yourselves. See the salvation of the Lord which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Father's on the throne. So, hey, when you're on your first cruise, don't let them see you sweat, okay? I mean, be brave and know Father's on the throne. They don't know it. We've got the victory. God always takes care of the remnant. I don't care how hard times get. I don't care how far things may seem to go wrong. It's still his plan. He's pulling the strings. There's a reason for it. Be of good cheer. we've got the victory. Those poor suckers that come against us, maybe I shouldn't call them suckers, but figure of speech, they don't realize what they're in for, because Father always protects His own. And He means it. So don't be afraid. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You keep your mouth shut, and you will listen to the Almighty God and observe what He does. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Tell them to stop messing around, complaining and griping, and tell them to get on forward. March. Let's see some action. Let's see some trust in our Father. Where's your faith? Okay. In these end times, this becomes critical. You have to have faith in Him to know. Everything that happens is for a purpose, and He's always going to protect you. He controls the enemy. He allows them to go so far and no more. And you can have faith to trust and believe that. Verse 16, But lift thou up thy rod, that's His staff. My page is sticking together here. And stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. They're going to go across. You know, we're coming to a time, you want to remember Revelation chapter 12. There's a terrible flood coming. Do you know what it is? It's a flood of lies. It's a flood of lies to people, and some people are going to believe the lies rather than looking at facts. Because when you look at facts, you cannot be deceived. And Satan is a deceiver, and he would like nothing better than to deceive God's elect. But that's why God makes these promises to you. Be of good cheer. Relax. I'm still on the throne, is what he's saying here. I can take care of it. Verse 17, and I, behold, this is, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I, notice emphatic, I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. In other words, I'm in control. They'll know I am God when I wipe them out of what's left, okay? And the Egyptians shall know that I'm the Lord. That's the purpose. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh with his, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. You know, that's the way of this world. We have many religions, but we have one Father. And people are going to know who the true Father is. That's what a lot of this is going down for, is to let people know who Yahweh is, who God is, and how He does protect us. I want to go to the little book of Haggai. That's the last book before Zacharias in the Old Testament and the minor prophets. Little short book right before the book of Zechariah, next to the last book of the Bible, Old Testament. And in Haggai, we pick up this same thought, only it's modern to today. Haggai was an old man that saw the first temple. And God used him to prophesy concerning what the temple of the end times, which is the many-membered body of Christ. You're looking at it right here. The many-membered body that is the temple. He says, it's better than ever. It may not look as good as the other. But he made promises here. Do you claim them? I hope you do. That's what he expects you to do. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, in the first 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord to the prophet Haggai, saying, this is Father speaking, speak now to Zerubbabel. What does Zerubbabel mean? It means born but come out of Babel. I may have been born in confusion, but with God's word, I came out. the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the residue of the people, saying, it's the house of Israel and the house of Judah. 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Question. And how do you see it now? Take a look around. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? It might be if you consider it that way, but you got to look behind the Spirit. Verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, you that came out of Babel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, be of good cheer, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Now, what was that word again? And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. That's what we were reading before, when he parted the Red Sea. So my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. That means be of good cheer. You got nothing to sweat. This promise was in Exodus, that same book, 29, verse 45. He said, I'm going to gather you all together for a purpose so I can be with you. So we're reading future here. This has not come to pass yet. He's telling you even today, don't be afraid. What have you got to fear? Your father is well in control. Everything's in good shape, and we're marching right along. We're going forward. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land. That hasn't happened yet. It's going to. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. That's Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the second advent. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. It may not look like much, but when Christ returns, it becomes that new temple, the many-membered body, the remnant that God saves, the remnant that God uses, that he serves, that you got nothing to worry about. You can be of good cheer all the way through because God's word is coming to pass as it's written. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, and the Lord, saith the Lord of hosts. 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace. Let's be of good cheer. You got nothing to worry about, saith the Lord of hosts. How precious it is that our Father, being on the throne, controls. But and don't be one of those that might say, well, I just wish I could believe that. Well, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. You see, you either have faith or you don't. You're either a Christian, that means a Christ man or woman, or you're not. Okay. You have to have faith to know. Father's on the throne. Everything is cool. Be of good cheer. We're going to have the victory. We already obtain it. But what must be, as it is written, and so it is. God's promise. Now, you're right before the book of Zechariah there, the very next book. Turn over to the 9th, to the 8th chapter of Zechariah, concerning this same promise. Pick it up in verse 7 of the great book of Zechariah. And, you know, you could write the book of Revelation from the 14th chapter of Zechariah, speaking of the end times. Verse 7 of chapter 8, Zechariah reads, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west. I'm going to save them from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun. That means all around. From the east, from the west, from Asia, from Europe, from the Slavic countries. I'm going to save my children. So be of good cheer. Verse 8, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth, in the righteousness. And so it is when you have that truth, when you hang on to it. And verse 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. He always encourages you to do that. Don't be weak. Don't be worrisome. That shows lack of faith. Be strong. Hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, when that many-membered temple, Zerubbabel, began to build, that the temple might be built in the end times, of course. Verse 10, for before these days, there was no hire for man. I mean, people were jobless. There were millions out of work. Nor any hire for beast. I mean, you couldn't hire out anything. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. If you let it get to you, that's all it's going to amount to. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. In other words, I allowed division to come in. Politics of division. Poor against the rich. Rich against the poor. This one against that one, and that one against this one. Now, how many gods did we have? We have one Father for all people. Don't fall into that old line of listening to mankind. Hear the words of God and know and understand. These things are going to come to pass as they're written. As a matter of fact, when you woke up this morning, it's happening. You're living it. So be of good cheer and look up. Your Redeemer draweth nigh. Verse 11, but now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, wait a minute. He's saying, I'm not going to be this way to all the people. He did not say that. He said, I'm not going to be this way to the residue of the people. I'm not going to let them be out of work. I'm not going to let them give up. I'm not going to let these afflictions come down upon them. Why? The residue can be of good cheer. Why? Our Father is on the throne. And everything's going down exactly as it's written. So, what are you worried about? Be of good cheer. Our Redeemer draweth nigh. We live in those times. It is a hard thing when people have the give-up-itis, okay? Just well, it didn't go the way I wanted it to, and I'm ready to give up. Well, poor little old thing, you know? How pitiful, you know, that you have it so bad when you could be of good cheer, because we've got the victory. Verse 12, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant, not everybody, I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Even while the trouble is going on, I'm going to see that they're all right. Why? Because of their faith. Their faith in Him. To know you don't give up. You don't quit. You talk to Him. Bring Him into the equation of your life. If you're looking for a job, tell Him. Provide it. And keep going forward, plowing, until you find it. You will. Because He will see to it. That's His promise. And God always keeps His promises. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. That means be of good cheer and be strong. You've got everything going for you. If there was ever a promise of God that gives you promise, that's it. You know what I would do if I were you? I'd claim it. You know, remember Isaiah chapter 45, verse 26? That's not correct, but it's close. 43:26, where it says, God speaking, remind me of my promise. And he didn't forget. Okay? He wants to know if you remember. Remind me of that promise. So we can talk about it and I can justify you, meaning I can make everything right with you. So there's a wonderful promise. One of the best promises in these end times you're going to find, or is good in everyday life, is that he's going to see that you are all right. That you've got nothing to sweat. You've got nothing to worry about. So love him and let him know that you love him. All will be well. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. 15. So again, have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. That means rejoice. Be of good cheer. Father's on the throne. It's his promise to the residue. The residue are God's elect. They're those that do not get caught up in the storm. That have faith to know we've got the victory. Now, let's go to the New Testament and see what it might say about this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And this would be concerning Christ. And he entered into a ship, and he passed over, and he came into his own city. That would be Capernaum, the city of compassion. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy. He was paralyzed, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, what did he say? Listen carefully. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Do you love him? Then you can afford to be of good cheer. Why? He watches over you. He takes care of you. I mean, here the Son of Man, that's Christ himself. I mean, the man can't move, and Christ says your sins are forgiven. Meaning, really, the forgiveness of our sins becomes number one. Everything else follows that. You've got a lot to be thankful for if your sins are forgiven. Verse 3, he continues then after being of good cheer. Verse 3, for behold, certain of the scribes saith within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Why? Verse 4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whither is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? I mean, he's really put himself in a corner here. Verse 6, but that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick man of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. Bam, just like that. Why? He had faith. And Christ could tell he had that faith. Faith is the answer, my friend. You have to faith in Christ to know, to trust. He's made it so easy for us to trust him. Especially the God's elect. You got nothing to fear or worry about. Verse 8, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And so it was to this man, the Son of Man, and those that followed him given that power. Skip on down, if you would, to verse 18 of this same chapter. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and he worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Now that is faith. That is true faith. Verse 19, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. We're going to observe this. 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came before him, behind him, and touched the hem of his garment. 12 is always symbolic of the 12 tribes. It means God's elect and those that follow him, okay? 21, and she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Do you see the faith in that? She said, If all I've got to do is touch the hem of that garment, and I'll be made whole. He could see that was true faith, and he could see it, and he knew it, and he recognized it. 22, and Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. That means be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What did it? Thy faith hath made thee whole. It is so ever important, especially in these end times, that you have that faith. It is your salvation. That faith in Him to know that you have nothing to fear. But fear itself, if you wish to participate in that. But you can rejoice and be of good cheer and good comfort because you faith in Him. And He's in charge. He controls both the enemy and ourselves. So who do you trust? Well, naturally, a wise person is going to trust him. He's going to have faith in him. That can change your entire life, just as it did this one. It changed her life. And the woman being made whole that same hour, 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. These were professional mourners. They beat their breasts and screamed and moaned and really put on a show. All right? They're grieving. Verse 24, and he said unto them, Give place. I mean, go away. For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed at the Lord Jesus Christ. 25. And when the people were put forth, you can never do something like this if a non-believer or an unfaither is present. You're wasting your time if you do. He went in and he took her by the hand, and the maid arose just like that. 26. And the fame hereof went abroad unto all the land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, meaning they had the key of David. They knew who the true Savior was. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. There's faith again. What was it that Jesus wanted to know of them? Do you believe? Do you have faith? If you do, I'm going to touch you. If you don't, guess what? It's not going to happen. Verse 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, the ball was put in their part. They could see. Because they had that faith. So we come to a time in history when we're in the end times. And if you ever wanted to be solid on the rock, Christ, it better be now. You better have that faith, and you better be of good cheer. Don't let people or bad news or anything else put you down. It's happening before your very eyes. God controls both parties, the good and the bad, to do what? So that all the world knows He is God. Not some other name, not some other religion, not some play games church. But He is the one, the only. And when you have faith in Him, He's going to lead you and guide you and bring you into what is called that promised land. This is that promised land, and you can enjoy that right today. Have faith in Him. Be of good cheer. Your Redeemer draweth nigh. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You, Father, for Your promises. And let that promise fall upon this house, Father, upon this family, wherever they may be in the world, all around, Father. That they all be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father, in Yahshua Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.
The mark of the beast.